But this morning our city can rise up like an eagle. But the key is they that wait upon the Lord. Now listen, most of our city people won't be waiting upon the Lord, so we have to do it for them. It's called standing in the gap. You see, there came a time when God looked down and he said to Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, I'm about to destroy this place. And he said, I'll tell you why, because I looked and I searched for one person, just one person, he said, to stand in the gap. And he said, I didn't find anybody. Do you remember Abraham? Do you remember when God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Can you remember what Abraham said? Don't do it. He said, please, if there's 50 righteous people, will you not burn Sodom and Gomorrah up? And then he went down to 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. Do you remember that? What was Abraham doing? Abraham was standing in the gap for a wicked city, an evil city. But Abraham said, please, I want to stand in the gap to save this city. And he said, well, listen, if there's any righteous people, my nephew Lot's there. I'm interceding. And God said, okay, I'll make sure that Lot gets out of that city before I burn it. Because Abraham stood in the gap. Our city is burning. You can stand in the gap this morning. God is looking not for the whole of Birmingham, because that just won't happen. But he looks at his people, and he's saying to his people this morning, will you stand in the gap for Birmingham's sake? Will you? How are we going to stand in the gap is what we're going to go through. You see, you cannot have escaped what's happened this week. I just remember getting up. I didn't know anything about it, actually, because I'm not a great TV person, unless, of course, it's Sky Sports. But I did get up, and I couldn't believe what I'd seen in London. Could you believe what happened in London? How many of you have seen the video of that lad who was bleeding and they ransacked his... Can you believe the depths of society in which we saw this week? And of course, I hated Facebook, and I promised I would never go on it, so of course I'm on it. And I've become a bit of addicted to it, in the sense of I'd love to go in and see what Wendy and all those other people and my friends are doing. By the way, they're not doing a great deal. But unless there's a picture of a cat. So when you go into Facebook, you generally get comments. Now, I have to say that some of the comments that I've seen this week have not been helpful. Some of the language has been pretty colourful. Now, I have to say, can I say this in integrity? Those of us who are born-again Christians, we are not to be using language such as I've heard and read on Facebook this week. We can put a point across using the English language, which is just as forceful, without coming down to some obscenities. I just want to say that. I get disturbed when I see some of the language that goes on. And some of the things that people wanted to do to other people. Now, I know that in the heat of the moment, you can severely want, especially if your property was burned, what you would like to do. But can I say that revenge is not the answer? But can I tell you that reconciliation is? And we need to show we're angry at what's going on. Because the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. But be angry. Seriously, be angry. But how do we deal with that anger? But as I watched that television, it wasn't so much anger that I had, it was tears. It was tears. And when I saw the video clip of that young man being mugged, well, if that didn't break your heart, then I don't know where grace is with you. It wasn't so much anger, it was just the pain that our town and our nation was going through. What can I do? Some of my colleagues who were firing chaplains, and I'm a chaplain of the fire station in Erdington. And we weren't involved in it. But some of the chaplaincies went into the midst of their fire stations, because with all the fire stations going out, and just stood there with their firemen. At least that showed them something we can do. There are some things we can do, some things we can't do. But the one thing we can do is pray. Brothers and sisters, it's the one thing that every one of us can do today is pray. The other thing to do, of course, is if you're able, is to go out there at 3 o'clock this afternoon and stand there and say, I believe that God is the answer to my city. And I'm declaring peace over my city. Because whatever has gone on, as I came to church this morning, I had Radio 5 on. And as I had Radio 5 on, they were talking to young people who say, listen, we're all being branded as thugs, and, you know, if we wear a hood, and they now, if you're a teenager, you're branded as some sort of thug and hug. Let me tell you, there were teenagers in Wolverhampton who went out the next morning and cleaned the whole of their town up. Not all our teenagers are thugs. Some of our teenagers have been brought up in a home where there's been love, there's been value, and they can respond to that, and they know smashing and looting is not the thing to do. But if you're between 13 and 18 now, you've been branded. I want to tell you that is not true. You are what you are. But unfortunately, we've got a society who have become what we've made them become. Because we've taken off all restraint. I even heard David Cameron say that political correctness was going out the window for a while. At least I think it was David Cameron who said it. Forgive me, David, if it wasn't. But I think the critical correctness should go out altogether. Never mind just out of a window. I think we've gone far too down the stream. We've taken a lot of parental control out of our parents. And wonder why we're in a mess. We've taken God's laws and we've just trashed them, and we wonder why we're in a mess. But does that mean there's no hope? No, that means there is hope. There's hope for our teenagers. So why is prayer so important? Why is prayer so important? Thank you, David. Because it's a spiritual command. I have got here, so it's impossible for us to cover all this morning, 6 pages. It teaches you how to pray over our nation, over our cities. The main draft of this came from our national leader, John Glass, who emailed every minister. And I've obviously put some stuff together so it fits into what we have this morning. But if you want one of these copies, I can email it to you. It tells you how to pray. Gives you all the biblical verses for you to pray. You don't even have to make up your own prayers. It's all in this dossier. Because I'll tell you the problem with those Christians. We'll pray until 4 weeks' time and the whole of Birmingham City is back together again, and then we'll stop. And there's a town. There's a town. And this town was constantly having a drug problem. The drug problem related to alcoholic problem related to violence. One spirals into another. And Christians got together and they prayed and violence stopped, the drug stopped, it went right down. And they stopped praying. What do you think happened? Started again, so they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. What do you think happened? Then they stopped praying. You know what I'm going to say next? What happened? They suddenly realized that as soon as we stop praying, the enemy comes in like a flood. So what's the best thing to do? Prayer, thank you. Stand up and say that. Just shout that out, Jane. Now that city now is under control. And do you know the jails are no longer even half full? And it's people of God praying. They go to a football stadium. And they take over the football stadium. And they pray. And they pray. And they pray. Because they don't want these teenagers falling into the hands of drunks. Falling into the hands of drug addicts. I want to tell you, these young teenagers should be the most important thing to us. And we should be praying over them in a land that is filled with the violence and the drugs and the alcoholic problems and all this. And by the way, we haven't started preaching, so we probably won't. So please, I'm so this. But I tell you something. Because, listen, once they hit down a spiral road, it's very difficult to get them out of that spiral road. Far better we don't have them going down there as going down there and regret it. But I want to tell you, prayer changes everything. And it's something that every Christian in this room can do. It costs you nothing apart from time. And that's why I do get so disappointed at prayer meetings. One prayer meeting of the week on a Tuesday night for an hour and a half. And on Tuesday night, we cried for our city. Why do you want to cry for your city? Because of that verse there. What does it say? Let's read it together, please. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. God will listen when you pray. I've put, as I say, I've added some verses into the main document. I've added this verse in. It wasn't in the original document. This is the key for our city. And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. If Birmingham City, well, they couldn't have peace, not that team. But if Birmingham has peace, then you have peace, don't you? If this town is prosperous, you are prosperous. It's foolish, it's stupidness not to pray for peace and prosperity, isn't it? There's a lot of old people in our church out of jobs. Come on, I want this whole of Pipe Hayes to every human being to be working, everyone to be prosperous, because if they're prosperous, we're prosperous. Now, God said this, I didn't say it. And what God said to the children of Israel, stop thinking about living in Jerusalem. You don't live in Jerusalem, you live in Babylon. No, settle down, and start praying for this place that I've put you in so that peace and prosperity might come and you'll benefit. Don't keep praying for Jerusalem because you're not going there. Now, it is no good me praying for Redden where I've come from in that sense because I'm in Pipe Hayes. I'm praying for Pipe Hayes because that's where I live. Well, sorry, this is where our church is. And you need to realize that the more prosperous our city is, the more prosperous we are. And this is the theme where John Glass come in. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. That we may lead a what? And a what? Who wants to live like that? Well, apart from you teenagers, because quietness is something you teenagers just don't recommend when I've listened to some of your music. But peaceful. Who wants to live in a quiet and a peaceful environment? Who wants to be able to open their door and not shut it? Seriously, I can remember, and I'm only 30, but I can remember the days when my mother never locked her door. It would be 11 o'clock at night, and her door would not be locked because somebody would be coming in to borrow a cup of sugar. They used to leave the key on the outside, Mary. That's right, you must be about 30 as well. And can you remember those days? Seriously, who can remember the days when you really, really, you virtually lived with each other, didn't you? You virtually lived with each other. Why do we pray? The foundation of our prayer is that all men should be and come to the knowledge of the truth. If everybody was saved, if everybody was under God's grace, what a place to live in. That's why everybody's looking to what heaven for, aren't they? Because where heaven is, it's only filled with people who are in God's family. Isn't it? God has made certain things that you and I have to do. You and I have to love each other. You and I have to live and get on with each other. We have different rules. Why? Because God is building a kingdom. The second thing is this, though. That you might lead a quiet and peaceful life. The foundation is that all men will be saved. The fruit of that foundation is that we will live a quiet and peaceful life. Because if we are saved, you and I should be living a quiet and peaceful life. No, we should be. There's no verse for the scripture for anybody who's in God's family not to be living a quiet and peaceful life. That is God's design for us. That's why church should be the most important place for the world, because they should see that this family has something more than any other family in the world. Jesus said, all men will be drawn towards you when they see that you love one another. Christians are supposed to be different. We are. Make no mistake about it, we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be a light, aren't we? To a world that's dying. Now, there are three things we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for those who interpretate the law, that's the judges in the courts. We need to be praying for those who administer the law, that is the police. And then we need to be praying for those for whom the laws are made. That happens to be you and me, Curtis. That means you're in this prayer, son, but someone who has to obey the law. And your parents. And I know that can be a right pain. Now then, every one of you are included in this prayer, 1 Timothy, now, aren't you? I wish that prayers and intercessions will be made for all men. Why? Because, listen, Paul says, I want you to pray for those who would have to interpret the law, the judges in the courts. And listen, I don't know whether this is true. My wife told me, so if she said it, must be true. But somebody took three bottles of water. Was it three bottles of water? Six bottles of water, and they've got 6 months in prison. And somebody's done another horrendous crime and has only got a couple of weeks. Now, what I'm saying is, I know these rights have gone on, but justice still must be reigned. You've got to have a balance. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Even though violence has been unprecedented, and stealing, which we've all abhorred to, justice has still got to be seen to be done, hasn't it? Do you hear what I'm saying? These people are having to make judgments on sentences, aren't they? And Jesus is very, very interested that righteousness still reigns. Righteousness still reigns. And that's why he wants you to pray for. But we'll probably finish here because I say all the prayers is in here. But this is the three main areas. So when we're praying for those who come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday, you'll go into groups and we'll spend some great time on this. But the judges and the courts, they're opening all night now. They're even open Sunday to deal with one, is it 1,000? I don't know how many. I think it's thousands, isn't it? Absolutely, mate. Amen. And that is in here as well. It is all in here. You're quite right, Alan, because Paul actually said that for kings and authorities and leaders of nations, we're going to come into that. I'm going to whip these slides right through, so don't worry if you don't catch them. They're all available. They're in the notes. But those are the three main areas. What does 1 Peter 4:15 say? That's why you've got to be different, Katie. But listen, that's our ethos. Now, I've read about one person today who's been arrested. He's in court today, I think. And they're talking that he's a regular churchgoer, he's a regular Christian faith. Now, he might be, and he might have been caught up in this. But that's not what Peter is saying, isn't it? We have to be different. Curtis has made a commitment to Jesus. He has to be different. He cannot be going around breaking into shop windows and looting. Now, this is serious stuff for you young teenagers. It's wrong. But I want to tell you, teenagers, God loves you. God's grace is over you. God thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread. God doesn't care if you've got a hood on or if you haven't got a hood on. If you've got a hood on, God still loves you. Do you understand this, teenagers? God still loves you if you've got a hood on. We just can't see you. And it can be intimidating, by the way. No, I'm sorry, it can be intimidating. And we get a bit frightened when we see, you know, about 6 or 7 teenagers with hoods on. It's just because it's a bit intimidating. You might be the nicest people in the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's just that, it's just the what you're portraying. But don't you teenagers ever get to thinking that God doesn't love you. Jamie Monroe, you're just the apple of God's eye. And you've got to buy into that, son, because you're the apple of God's eye. All of our teenagers, God loves you. In fact, I'll tell you what, God wants to come into your life right now to do things because you've got years and years ahead of you where you can serve God and proclaim our nation. Some of us are on the way out. I'm not looking at you in particular. I'm just saying some of you are on the way out. Listen, we love you, teenagers. That's why in October we're starting again our Alpha. We want you to know that you can be great in God as we can be great in God. We're not branding every one of you as thugs. Because you know there are people in their 30s, teaching assistants who have been sentenced today for robbing and looting. But our teenagers seem to be hitting the headlines, yet there's people who should be in responsible teaching positions. Teaching positions. Isn't it sad? But friend, we are going to break the darkness. And Tuesday night will be a great night. That's what Paul tells us we have to do. We have to have supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. And each one of them is in there and they're all broken down for you. It's a giveaway. Supplication has a sense of entreaty or the making of request. Again, the notes is in there. What we are going to do Tuesday night is we are going to entreat that God will break into our nation. That's called supplication. And here are the scriptures to help you. There they are. Don't worry about them. They're all in the notes. But these are things we have to be praying for. Then he goes on to say, not only should supplications be made, but prayers should be made, because there's a difference. And this goes back to Alan, inspirational leadership. Our nation leadership is exactly what Alan was saying. Protection. How many people want protection? We're going to do all this Tuesday night. Then we go into the third section, which is intercessions. Standing in the gap. Isaiah. He saw there was no man and wondered why there was no intercessor. If we are obedient to the word, God will never have to ask if there is an intercessor, because we will be interceding. Remember that when we intercede, just as a lawyer stands before a judge to represent someone, we stand in the place of the person for whom we're praying for. That's what I'm saying. We're standing for the teenagers. On Tuesday night, we're going to stand for all those teenagers and for all those. Then he said, give thanks for all men. That's for those who interpret the law, for those who administrate the law, for those who the laws are made for. And we're just not going to go through it. We haven't got time. Then there's prayers for the leadership. Back to Alan and the nation. It's all in these notes. They'll have wisdom and understanding. We'll pray that they will have a godly standard. The fear of the Lord brings forth wisdom. Obedience leads to a good understanding. Direction. We want our nation to have direction. We want us to be diligent. I hope this thing isn't going to happen again. We need to be diligent. That's why I keep saying about consistently praying. Let's keep being diligent so that this thing doesn't occur again. We need to have a nation of righteousness where people feel safe. They're all in these notes. Those who come to the primary on Tuesday night will definitely receive a copy. But those of you who want a copy can have a copy. I haven't printed any out today because it's just a waste of paper to print paper out for our environment and for everything else if people don't need them. It's also available on email. And if you want to have it on email, I can send it on email. But I want to tell you, friends, if you don't start praying this, then we'll get what we deserve. Seriously. God said, I'm looking for one man, never found it. That city was destroyed. That city was destroyed because one person couldn't, in the whole of that city, be bothered to intercede for God. I want to stand here and say that Birmingham will be won for Christ today. And every one of you can stand with me, because praying is not difficult. And the notes and the prayers are with you. We're going to spend, it's 10 to 12, we're going to spend 5 minutes. Well, we're going to cry to God for our nation. You might know someone who's been involved in it. You might want to pray for the family of those three people who have been murdered. You might want to pray for the teenagers that God will touch their hearts and they will understand that this is wrong. But you might want to pray for the teenagers who've never done anything and pray that they will not get a hype or that they are looked at as anything but what they are. I'm not telling you how to pray. But I think if we can't as a church now fall before God for 5 minutes, then we're struggling. And all I can do is encourage you on Tuesday night. Come out. Let's break this city for the kingdom of God. At 5 to 12, I will close the prayer time. And we'll finish with a song and have a cup of tea and an apple cake. Let's pray for 5 minutes. I'm going to ask Rob Roberts to start the prayer time off.